Noches. Good evening. Lo han dicho los hermanos de México.
The Mexican brethren have said it
varias veces,
several times these days.
Es un privilegio estar
aquí. It's a privilege to be here.
Amen. Es porque nosotros en Querétaro oramos
because
por ustedes.
We in Querétaro, we pray for you. We're constantly thanking God that you had this vision of evangelism. And it's thanks to God that we know Him also. I'm going to read two verses. In the book of Romans, chapter 10,
versículo 14 y 15.
14 and 15.
¿Cómo pues invocarán aquel en el cual no han creído? ¿Y cómo creerán a aquel de quien no han oído? ¿Y cómo irán sin haber quien les predique? ¿Y cómo predicarán si no fueran enviados? Como está escrito, cuán hermosos son los pies de los que anuncian el Evangelio de la paz, de los que anuncian el Evangelio de los bienes.
How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It's a blessing to me.
Esas palabras, ¿y cómo oirán?
These words,
how
shall they hear unless someone preaches to them? When I was a young man, very young, perhaps 12 or 13 years old, I decided that I was no longer going to be part of the religion of my parents, the Catholic religion. For my part, I wanted to find God. I began to seek Him. To seek some church that could tell me the truth, the Word of God. After trying several times, I gave up. And I thought everybody has their own truth. That there was no absolute truth. Because I thought everybody had an opinion, one or the other, about God. So I decided I didn't want to believe in God. I abandoned all type of faith. I prohibited my wife and my children to seek God. And my person began to change. I started letting my hair grow long, almost as long as my wife's. I also had a beard almost as long as my hair. I would dress with torn clothes and sandals. Thank you. And I went several years that way. There was a moment in my life that God broke me. I decided it was time to recognize that I had been too stupid and I had been too drugged. I began to seek God in prayer and asked Him to lead me to the truth. That if He existed, because I couldn't believe in Him, that He would tell me where's the right place to know Him, that He would allow me to serve Him also. I began to read the Bible and praying, and maybe like 3 months later, in downtown there was some guy with a Bible saying, the Bible says. That impressed me a lot. So much that I wanted to hear what this crazy man was saying. Maybe there were three or four times the number of people that there are here all around him. Some were insulting him, yelling things at him. And I was thinking, they're crazy. And I got closer. I wanted to know what he was talking about. Someone talked to me. The first question they had, do you know where your soul is going to go the day you die? And I said, nobody can know that. And she said, because all have sinned and are fall short of the glory of God. And that caught me. And maybe 2 months later, I was caught. Maybe 2 months later, I went for the first time to that church. And when I got there, it was impressive. The same guy that I saw there was preaching there at the church meeting. I was impressed by the place. There was no ceiling. There were no walls. There were no seats. There was a guy there preaching in the name of Jesus. They met in a park. In the open air. And I asked, well, what's the name of this church? They said, it's the name of Christ. And I said, no, well, there's Baptist, there's Methodist, there's waters of life, there's the seed, there's so many names. They said, no, we meet in the name of Jesus. Okay, that was very impressive. I talked to my wife and we said, what are we going to do about this? And she said, if we're coming here, we're going to stay. That young man over there is my son. My wife was pregnant with him when we got that first time. We've been there since then, trying to be faithful to God. Long time to understand. Long time to accept the mercy of God for me. But I never left. Christ confirmed me. That's where the truth was. For a while, looking for a church, trying to get to Christ, to find if God really did exist. Many churches I visited, and the most just offer convenience. Offer a great, wonderful life for, plan for your life. They offer you peace. They offer you joy. They say if you change your life, you'll be prosperous. You'll have prosperity. And the majority of them don't get saved. Proverbs 14.
Proverbs 14:11.
No. 11:4.
Proverbios 11:4.
Es que yo tengo que buscarlo. Okay. No sé la Biblia de memoria todavía.
Yo no estaba citando textual.
Está bien. Adelante.
No aprovecharán las riquezas en el día de la ira, mas la justicia librará de muerte.
Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death.
Esto es algo que entendí.
This is something I learned.
Quería saber.
But I wanted to know. I wanted to free my soul from death.
Amen.
This made me think that place where I had gone, that there was the truth. In Mexico, we received men. Men of faith that you sent. I was impressed to meet people like that. I had never met anyone, men like that, ever. That's the truth.
Ellos eran hombres dispuestos
they were
a obedecer a Dios.
Men willing to obey God.
Pensé de ellos al principio,
I thought about them at the first.
A todo lo que ellos renunciaron.
Everything that they had given up.
Su comodidad.
Their comfort.
Vivir en este país.
Live in this country. The prosperity of this country. They had left their parents, their relatives. They had left this church. And they started out alone in a park under the rain with insects, with people making fun of them, the ones that were passing by, insults, every type of thing that we have around us. We received men who had been decided to preach the gospel. And these were, you sent men that were decided and to teach other men. It's impressive. They never offered us things. They never offered us comforts of any type. They never told us that we were going to have a simpler life if we would follow Christ. On the contrary, they told us that we were going to have a life a little busier, a little more difficult. We would have to get rid of certain customs, friends,
personas,
people.
Ellos mostraron su prioridad.
They showed their priorities.
Servir a Dios.
To serve God.
Y enseñarnos a nosotros.
And teach us.
Servir a Dios.
To serve
Amen.
God.
Romanos capítulo 1.
Romans 1.
El versículo 16.
On verse 16. Verse 16.
Porque no me avergüenzo del evangelio, porque es potencia de Dios para salud a todo aquel que cree.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The brothers,
esos hermanos creyeron esto.
Those brothers believed this.
El evangelio es potencia de Dios.
That the gospel is the power of God, the power of God to everyone that believes.
Claro que lo creyeron.
Of course they believed it and they taught it.
Pienso todavía de lo difícil que era.
I think also how difficult it was.
Al inicio de mi conversión.
At the beginning of my conversion.
El llegar con ellos y sentarme.
I got there
ellos,
with them and sat with them
pública,
in a public place.
La gente que me conocía,
and people that knew me were walking by.
Preguntándome,
and they were asking me, "What are you doing with them?" And when
Dios me dio la fe,
when God gave me that faith,
yo decía, Cristo me salvó.
I said, well, Christ saved me. They're my brethren. Christ died for sinners. And he has been preached in Mexico to every Mexican. You can't imagine the hundreds, maybe thousands of saved people that are in Mexico because of this vision you had. I'm saying all this not with the idea of to build up men, so that you can appreciate the work that God has done, and perhaps many of you haven't been able to see. God's done a great work. God has reached so many people in our country because of the work of faith of this church. I was 18 years in the church in Querétaro. And I think a lot of churches suffer. They suffer a lot. This attack from the world.
This
assault from other churches that are called Christian. That they're making our churches think that the way we teach and preach the gospel, and even how we teach in the churches, They're making them think that that's not the good kind of Christianity. And some are leaving the church. I hear brethren in different churches in Mexico. The church is resisting the counsel of their pastors. Some prefer someplace more comfortable. Better chairs. Lighter preaching. And I think that's not what ought to happen in church. Here, if I'm not mistaken, we've got three generations of evangelists. I've been thinking, how much longer are you all going to be doing this work? How much longer are you going to be able to continue with this desire that the gospel reach more people that you haven't seen? How much longer are you going to be here keeping up this vision and trying to make the gospel reach many more? I'm worried that this might get cold. That this generation be the last one with this vision. How long has it been since the last missionary you sent out? We in Querétaro, we've been 15 years, myself and Juan Girón being the elders, recognized by the church, we have almost 15 years praying for others to be raised up, and we don't have others. We're still two. Like 10 years ago, two evangelists went out from our church. The churches are supporting them. And we have prayed for more evangelists. And others haven't left, haven't gone. Like a week ago, maybe 2 weeks, we were meeting with the men from all the churches in Mexico. And they were saying the same thing. How long has it been that we haven't sent out more evangelists? Has the vision of evangelism ended? I don't think so, brother. I think the will of God still goes on and it's firm. I think God wants to keep saving souls in this world. I think that the will of God is that the gospel be preached all over the world. And if you who have seen, brethren, this great blessing of knowing that there are maybe thousands of saved people because of the work of faith that you've done by these men who have dedicated their lives to serve God and preach to the unknown like I was at that time. This could stop. 2 Corinthians.
Nine.
Brethren, I want to encourage you that this evangelistic vision remain in you. Believe me, in Querétaro we're praying that you would maintain this vision.
2 Corinthians 9:6.
en bendiciones también segará.
But as I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
Puede haber una cosecha abundante, hermano.
There might be an abundant harvest, brethren.
Si el trabajo de Dios continúa,
if the work of God continues,
con el mismo esfuerzo,
with the same effort, the same dedication,
el mismo amor por
the
Dios,
same love for our Almighty God that has saved all of us.
Es posible tener cosecha abundante.
It's possible to have an abundant harvest.
Por supuesto, es una decisión que cada uno de manera individual.
Of course, it's an individual decision everyone needs to make in their lives.
Ser parte de esto,
to be part of this,
solo mirar,
or just watch like some do. God bless you, brethren. The church in Querétaro was happy when they knew I was going to be here. They don't know you. You don't know them. But they send much greetings to you. Juan Giron said, thank them for me, for the vision of evangelism that they had. God bless you, brethren.